Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. It is hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
And oh boy, we got a fun one going on right now in the NBA midway through the second quarter. And the Jazz have a 43-40 lead right now over the Clippers. Donovan Mitchell, 16 points so far to lead the Jazz. Meanwhile, for the Clippers, Terrence Mann has 14. Paul George with 12. Again, remember, the Clippers playing without Kawhi Leonard, likely done for the season with an ACL injury. The Jazz
second-year man getting the start and putting up big numbers. But Mike Conley also back, buddy.
He is, buddy. It's a big night for the Jazz here. They got to extend this series. And, hey, clearly, you know you got to get behind Donovan Mitchell, and he's having a big night so far. He's already got three threes in the game. And the Clippers have a full house. It's kind of fun seeing a full house in Staples. You know, the Clippers,
no more cardboard cutouts.
No. It's that, buddy. They got everybody there now, buddy. They got real people in the seats. It's an awesome atmosphere right now.
Any Clipper Daryl shots just yet?
Oh, you know what? You know, we follow each other on Twitter. I have not seen him post anything yet. I don't know if he's going to. He usually doesn't post until after the game, Clipper Daryl.
Why would you not announce your arrival with that full crowd? There's lots of posts saying, hey, don't forget to put on your T-shirt.
Sometimes he's watching the game.
The game, you got to be jacked up. Yeah. Your job, you're a mascot. Your job is to hype people up. That's what you do.
I can give the guy credit if he wants to spend some time and watch the game. Sometimes I want to look when I'm watching the Jets, when I'm watching the Mets. Sometimes I want to tweet. Sometimes I just want to watch the game.
No. Misery loves company. You want everybody to be in here.
Sometimes if I'm having a beer, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to tweet. I don't think that's a good combination. I'm gonna shy away from this because I don't think that's a good idea. My phone is always within reach. No. Resist the temptation to want to tweet and put pictures up during a game. Resist. So we'll keep you updated on this game throughout the show tonight. Look, the Clippers can win. Remember, I picked the Clippers to go to the NBA Finals before the series began, before the playoffs began.
I pulled that take back out of the garbage for you, so it's cleaned off a little for you, pal.
It was always clean. So, I dropped it and then had to pick it up and clean it. I wouldn't say I threw it away. It's more like I just dropped it.
I got to pick it up, Bob.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob. So again, the Jazz with the lead right now. They just push it out to 9 over the Clippers. Again, still tons of time left in here. We're not even midway through the second quarter. Meanwhile, earlier tonight, we watched a game that I got to be the first one to say, because when I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I say it. I did not see the Sixers winning this game. I did not see them getting off the bus after the way they gave away the last game. I thought this game, the Sixers are going to show up and just, they're going to mail it in, and they're going to go home and they're going to lose like 112-87. And they did not. The Sixers played extremely well. Look, Embiid didn't shoot well, but he still had a really good game. Seth Curry, not Steph Curry, the better Curry. Oh, KNBR, how do you feel about that? The better Curry with 24 points tonight. He made 6 threes. Tobias Harris had 24. Maxey with 16 off the bench. Finally, the Sixers and Embiid got some help from his support groups. Again, not Ben Simmons, but all the other guys. And the Hawks found it difficult going at the end to get buckets. But when I look at the end of this game, Mike, you know, the thing that I focus on is obviously we focus on the stars, right? And Embiid had a good game, still had some turnovers, but he got help. Trae Young, it was difficult for him. Bogdanovich got hurt. He missed the end of the game with injuries. Still had a couple of guys making shots, right? He still got Herter, you know, Red Velvet's his nickname, which that's a great nickname, right? Red Velvet's an awesome nickname. You know, Gallinari was making shots, but still, it comes down to Trae Young at the end of games. And what did we see in the final 8 minutes tonight? We saw Trae Young make one shot. He made one three, and that was it. And what you are seeing, what you saw the Sixers do at the end was anytime Trae Young had the ball coming across half court, there was a couple of defenders out there to meet him. They weren't going to let him do his dribble left, dribble right, come up and hit some kind of off-balance three. They were not going to allow him to do that. They were not going to allow him to drive to the hoop. They were going to make him dish it off to somebody and make somebody else make a shot. Look, you want to look at why the Hawks beat the Knicks? How many times did you see at the end of a game, Trae Young is one-on-one because, you know, Tom Thibodeau's not going to change and go, maybe we need two guys on Trae Young. No. He's one-on-one. Trae Young gets his shot. Everything is great, and the Hawks win. But you saw what the Sixers did tonight. They're treating him like other teams treat Steph Curry at the end of games. This is why Steph Curry is overrated at the end of games, because he can't get his own shot off because he's not big enough. And that's the whole problem. You can put a couple of guys on him, but he can't get his own shot off. I'm sorry that he's small, but other guys can get their own shots off. That's what it is. It's the same thing for Trae Young. Trae Young is even smaller than Steph Curry is, and he's not going to get his own shot off at the end of games because they're going to throw teams out. They're going to throw players out there and make sure he can't do it. They're going to make sure he can't get to the hoop for those big running floaters where he shoots the ball 50 feet in the air and it comes down. They're not going to allow him to do that at the end of games. So the Atlanta Hawks, and specifically Trae Young, have to figure out a way to say, all right, how do we get around this? Because the Warriors couldn't do it when it was just Steph at the end of the game. Oh, boy, suddenly I'm not getting these threes off like I did all the way through the game. But suddenly now it's really, really hard. Yeah, Trae Young meets Steph Curry, because that's kind of where that's kind of what we've seen now. He's like this generation Steph Curry, because that's the guy. He is a smaller player that was able to get his shot during the game and able to make some incredible highlights. But at the end of games, you can find a way to control him. And that's exactly who Trae Young is right now when teams play defense the right way. The Knicks didn't do it because, you know, Tom Thibodeau is going to be stubborn all the way through, and we're going to keep single guarding Steph. We're going to keep single guarding Trae all the way through. But you saw the Sixers change things up now, and the Hawks have to find that solution. And Trae Young's got to find it for his career, because he's not going to get any bigger. He's still going to be 6'1 his entire career. He's got to find a way to be able to affect the games at the end when teams do what they did to him tonight.
Well, and that's it. As you come looking at the Hawks team as to how they're currently constructed, needing that extra shooter, right? So not having Bogdanović, not having another option. So you get the guys that are all defense 2021 selections, right? They got three of them in the top two teams, right? So Ben Simmons. You've got on the second team Embiid and Matisse Thybul, who's got, a 7-foot wingspan just like Ben Simmons does. So what did you see? The two of them stalking Trae Young wherever possible. It's like, all right, you're going to have to get around us, shoot over us, whatever you're going to do here in the waning seconds, or you're just going to have to dish. And look, he had a couple of open looks that he missed, right? Not that he necessarily was going to be able to get off an open jump shot. You know, the three-point arc was taken away, but he got into the lane a couple of times and just left the ball short. One, I think, thinking that Embiid was going to come swatting it out of the sky, shades of Dikembe Mutombo of years past, but leaving it short, and he went on a cold spell, and you didn't have the same pickup and secondary guy that was able to do it. So give him credit, and certainly give the Sixers credit and Doc Rivers and his staff some credit for changing it up enough to frustrate Trae Young, who's been phenomenal. He was phenomenal most of the night as well, and then get stalled at his 34 points. And they missed a lot of free throws. That's the other thing that, you know, you have to circle. Steve mentioned it in one of his updates, and it's a very real thing here. And you have close games, and if we're going to shide the Sixers and Ben Simmons not being able to, and you saw how they were using and moving Maxey in and out, right? Because Thybul's offensive game's not developed yet either. So you get some instant offense when Maxey comes in off the bench, tag him out, Thybul now second team all defensive, and play that yo-yo or puppet strings or whatever analogy you want to use there to make it work. But you've got to hit your foul shots, and Atlanta gave away 11 points right there.
See, but here's the thing, and this is why I don't look at free throws, because when this happens, the genesis and the reaction is to say, so you got to make your free throws. Well, yeah, you got to make your free throws. And it's not that players are not trying to make free throws. They're missing them, right? You want them. Yeah, you got to make your free throws, right? So they're either going to miss or make them. It's not something where, hey, they're not being coached well enough or they don't have a strategy. It's the guy's at the free throw line. He's got to do his thing. He's got to go through his routine, and he's got to find a way to knock it down. But that's not a coachable thing.
No,
you know,
at this point,
it's not coachable. It's okay. Yeah, make your free throws.
The only coaching thing is I can't let that guy be on the court to get fouled.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. It's
the coaching strategy. Hey, they're going to come attack that guy. Get him off!
It's like when you watch a football game and, you know, somebody drops a pass and everybody on Twitter, like all the analysts go, he has to catch that pass. Well, yeah, of course he has to catch that pass. What do you mean?
No, the better analogy is the interception. Boy, he's going to want that throwback.
But free throws you're going to make them or not, right? You're going to have games where you make them, you're going to have games. But the strategy is, okay, in the close games, how are you going to execute down the stretch? How are you going to be able to do it when you know that getting the ball to Trae Young and saying, go do something, is not enough, right? That's not going to be enough. It could be enough when the team says, okay, you're single covered, go do your thing. Right. If you're being single covered, this is why you're a superstar. Go do your thing, man. Whatever shot you can get, if you can come off a pick or rub off a screen and get it, hey, awesome, man. Go do it. But when there's two guys on, you can't get your shot. We got to figure something else out. And the Hawks had no answer for that tonight. How are you going to figure it out? Look, down the stretch, it was desperation shots from guys who weren't ready to get the ball, and they were throwing things up from inside the arc, and it just didn't work. And that's why this is something both for short term for Trae Young and long term for Trae. You got to figure this out for games. 7, because this is what happens in the playoffs, right? 2 or 3 games come down to the final minute in every series. It's not like the NBA season where, hey, once a week or so or once every 10 days, you get a game that comes down. It's 101-100. You have a chance for a walk-off shot at the end. In the playoffs, they generally come down to 2 or 3 games in the series like this because the games are closer, defense is played a little bit harder, and points are a little bit more difficult to come by. So this is why it's both a thing for game 7 and a thing for the future, because you got to find a way around it, because now if this happens with Trae Young, hey, we found a way to neutralize him in the final minutes of games. That's a huge win. And this is where the Hawks have to know, okay, when this happens, this is what we do, and this is the best way to do it. And just watching Trae Young try to dribble around is not going to do it, because the game gets too hectic and chaotic at that point. Because you watch the end of the game for the Warriors, right, to make this comparison with Steph Curry. When you see the Warriors at the end of games, the Warriors are down by a bucket, whatever it is, what does Steph Curry do, right? He tries to dribble around everybody, try to find a shot. It's very hectic on the floor, right? Everybody is running around and nobody knows where he's going, where he's going to wind up going. And then it's to the point where, okay, here's a pass. So are you really ready for that moment? Are you ready for that pass? Are you ready to drive to the lane? Probably not, because you're wondering, what's going to happen here? Where's he going to wind up coming out of this? Is he going to take a shot? Is he going to try to dish off? You can't do it. Trae Young tried to do that tonight, and you see him trying to dribble around, two guys trying to find that shot. It's, where are we going on offense? Right? When you're just trying to dribble around to find an open way to throw the ball, that's a lot of chaos. That's not, this is what we need to do. When they start clamping down on you, we get rid of the ball earlier. We have a player come here. You try to dribble through, whatever it is, but that's what's got to be figured out, because Trae Young is on that Steph Curry path to where the end of games, he's going to be neutralized. And it's long and short-term problem for him, man. Like I said, my Hawks, who I picked to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, have to figure this out in Game 7. See, they lost. I'm still saying my Hawks, Mike Harmon. They got to figure out a way to do this to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and turn me into a prophet. So I'm hoping they can figure that out in the next 24 hours.
Yeah, you're going to have to find some secondary shooters to step up. Lou Williams has to look himself in the mirror and say, I failed today. I got 11 minutes. I missed all 5 of my shots, including my 1 3-point shot. Yeah, I gave him a couple of rebounds and an assist, but I turned the ball over twice. I had 3 fouls, and I sat down to a minus 10. Fail. Gallinari stepped up, right? 5 of 10, 16 points, great. 4 for 4 from the free throw line. You're going to need him to repeat, but you're going to need more consistency from the other shooters. Otherwise, Trae Young's getting the same treatment, man. Because see how much different. Go back and watch tape with Steph Curry when Klay Thompson's actually out there, and you got a guy that can routinely hit a 3-point shot. You can keep the defenses honest, right? So Steph's still going to find that lightning quick moment to get a shot up. Without Klay Thompson, not so fast. And so, yeah, 2 days of adjustment ahead as we go for Nate McMillan.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. It looks like Utah is going to be heading to halftime with a huge lead over the Clippers. In the last couple of minutes, they have started hitting threes like they were going to cancel them at the end of the game. They are now 11 out of 16 from three-point range, and the Utah Jazz lead the Clippers 69-48 in the final minute of the second quarter before halftime. It has been a big run and a big spurt by the Jazz over the course of the last few minutes. And look, we told you Donovan Mitchell was playing extremely well. He now has 22 on the night. Jordan Clarkson's got 21. So these guys are doing all the damage right now for the Jazz. We'll keep you updated on this. Trae Young, I mean it. You got to figure it out, man. You're Steph Curry. It's a great comparison until you get to the final minutes of games. Got to figure it out. But straight ahead, there's a big story out of the NFL involving a quarterback we've been talking about for months. And if something happens, I'm going to be really, really mad. What is it? We'll tell you next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And wow, did things change quickly in this Jazz Clippers game.
Yeah. Your Clippers.
Yeah. You're right.
They've still got a series lead.
You're right. The Jazz break open a close game and they lead the Clippers 72-50 at halftime right now. It has been all Donovan Mitchell and all Jordan Clarkson. Boy, the Lakers would love to have Jordan Clarkson, wouldn't they? Mitchell's got 22. He's made five threes. Clarkson's got 21 off the bench, and they are doing all the damage. Meanwhile, for the Clippers, Paul George and Terrence Mann both have 14, but it has not been a second quarter for the Clippers. They get outscored by 20, and it's 72-50 into halftime. Just when you look at these NBA playoffs and go, okay, I think I have it figured out, well, then you get a first half like this. You look up and go, man, momentum changes every 5 minutes. I mean, I get that, hey, momentum is something that, you know, sometimes teams keep, sometimes teams don't, but this momentum, what we've seen for certain teams over the course of the playoff, you know, they have everything going into a game, then they lose it all. The other team's got it all going to the next game, and they lose it and give it right back. I mean, there really is nothing. There, every time you are seeing a team go into a game where, hey, they can throw the hammer down, win the series. Nope, the other team comes out with an effort like the Sixers had tonight, and now we go to game seven. So this has been a very unpredictable playoffs where normally we can say, all right, certain things we see with this series, this game, I get it. But this is the end of COVID. It's about being the end of the COVID season. It's about being healthy. It's about being able to come through with big performances. And clearly every other game you see something switch and go, oh, momentum's here. Nope, now it's here. Oh, momentum's here. Nope, now it's here.
Yeah, I think part of it is maybe momentum is a myth. Maybe it's a
I like momentum.
I like that. Certainly, as a comic book character, right? Isn't there someone named Momentum in one of these universes, or someone that it works with? I mean, they got desperate for names at some point. Momentum equals mass times velocity.
Hey, how about Grandma? Yes, Grandma is the big super. How about Grandmama? Let's take that from Larry Johnson. She's a big new superhero now.
Nicely done. No, I mean, you can do that. Look, I've got the encyclopedia. For DC sitting over there. I know we had the order in for the Marvel Universe, so we could just do the one-to-one comparisons and try to do the dates of all the who stole which character from the other. It's like, hey, you got a, you know, Man-Bat. No, he's Batman, you know, over here, and things of that nature. So you can have some fun with that all you want. But to your point, yeah, night to night, that's why sports is so good as live theater. And I'm glad, you know, I've got some tickets for some live theater coming. I got to go see Hamilton again, right, just to, you know, go sing along and have that kind of energy. But why we watch every night, because you have no idea what's going to happen, right? We watched that earlier game, 76ers. After that collapse, you would have thought, they're gonna play dead. They're gonna go 1-2-3 Cancun and leave. No, instead, they win in Atlanta, and cause some chaos. And now, you know, let's toss it up and we get a game seven. So everybody's excitable. And that's just it. Night to night, who's the new hero? Donovan Mitchell has had some slow starts in this series, right? Slow first quarters. No, not tonight. Aggressive in his 19 minutes, 8 of 14, shooting 22 points. Even though Mike Conley's 0 for 3, the fact that he's given them 12 minutes, highly important minutes, helping to distribute the ball. And as we talked about with James Harden and his return to the court for the Nets, you at least have to acknowledge his presence while he's out there. So, you know, you get to play some of the mental chess games and try to get into coaching staff's heads of how they're going to try to match up. So, yeah, great theater. Grab your popcorn, grab a beverage. It's Friday night. We got you here on Fox Sports Radio.
Now, before we get into Aaron Rodgers and all the drama from today, I want to say, because you mentioned going to see Hamilton again. And I got to be honest, I am about 3/4 of the way through in the Heights, and I am not a fan.
Did you start noting all the places where he clearly plagiarized himself when he wrote
Hamilton? Okay. See, that's okay. Look, Aaron Sorkin's been doing that for 25 years, and he's dating Paulina Poroskova now. So
I can't fault a good strategy.
You can borrow from your other works like Aaron Sorkin's done for his whole life. But you know the thing about In the Heights is that. You can tell this was the rough draft of what Lin-Manuel Miranda was going to turn Hamilton into, right? But watching In the Heights about this neighborhood, Washington Heights, and the things that get me on it is the music is good? No. The music is kind of, a lot of the songs are very similar. It's just a lot of fast singing, and it's not as much differentiation as you get with Hamilton, but okay. But mainly, the plot is, everybody's plot is the same. Do I want to stay in Washington Heights or do I want to leave? Everybody. That's every single person. Do I want to stay? Do I want to go? Am I going to stay? And if Washington Heights is such a great neighborhood that everybody is I have a tough time surrounding myself with the story of Anthony Ramos telling me this is a great place, this is a great neighborhood. Why does everybody want to leave? Why does everybody want? If you're telling me how great this place is, yet everybody in this in the movie and in the play is okay, but maybe I want to leave and go do something else. Okay, so what's it really about, and why aren't we getting more of a diverse story that it's not the same thing for everybody? So that's kind of what that's kind of my issue with In the Heights so far. I mean, again, I still have the last like half hour or so to watch, but I gotta say, I'm just watching it going, oh man, I can see why this is a little disappointing. I can see why
box office numbers were pretty bad. Obviously, it's on HBO Max as well for those to stream. And I've watched it a couple of times. I think it's still early enough. I won't go too deep into some of the criticisms I had with it. But all in all, fun watch. Music's catchy. And I think we're spoiled by Hamilton to a degree.
Oh, sure.
So, I mean, you're viewing it through that lens. I just noted, you know, the number of times for about 20 to 30 seconds I was anticipating the next line with something out of Hamilton. Which was bad on me. And it's got Jimmy Smits. Come on, Smits saves everything.
Sure. That's true. I like seeing
Jimmy
Smits.
And Ramos is really good. Right.
Yes,
Ramos is
very good.
Fantastic.
Yes. He is very good
in the role. So,
acting is very good. The acting is very good, and the singing is good. It's just it's not quite. But I'm okay with it not being Hamilton. I just expected a little bit more from the story, and not to be thinking about those big aspects of it all through this. Like, let's have a little bit of. Could somebody else have a different story other than I want to get out, but boy, this is home. I mean, can somebody else have a different story than that? But that's everybody's story.
Well, you know, but you don't get a view of someone else who's now moved into the neighborhood. That was lacking as well.
Yeah, well, that's where Jimmy Smith should have been. The guy that comes in to save it, because that's what he does. He comes in, he saves television shows. Every time he comes, Jimmy Smith comes in, he's the closer, man.
He saved the neighborhood.
He's Rivera. He's the guy that should have come. Oh, Jimmy Smith is coming in at the end, just like he does every time he's done during his career. That should have been Jimmy Smith. Telling you. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Note to self. Call Lin-Manuel Miranda. Tell him about rewrite for In the Heights. Got it.
Now we got to watch the new animated movie that came out. Like that's weekend viewing.
877-99 on Fox is the phone number. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. What's going to make me really mad about the Aaron Rodgers story coming up in 90 seconds? So with what's going on with the Packers, right? Today, the Packers finished their mini camps, finished everything. We're not going to hear from them again, likely until training camp begins at the end of July. And with the fond farewell, it's like the end of summer camp. We got these two bits of knowledge and insight from the Packers before they all left for vacation. Matt LaFleur said, look, we have one plan regardless of who plays quarterback, whether it is Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love. Jordan Love said he was told to prepare like he's going to be the starter, right? Because clearly if Aaron Rodgers isn't there, then Jordan Love's going to be the starter. So at this point, I want to say this, Mike, because this really is how I'm going to feel. I am going to be so pissed if after all of this, Aaron Rodgers doesn't end up with a new team, right? You're going to put us through all of this. I don't want to play. I want change. I don't like what's going on. I'm going to sit out. I'm not going to get the change I want to. He's publicly flaunting. He doesn't need Green Bay. He's on vacation with Miles Teller. He's going to be in Top Gun 2. He's hosting Jeopardy. All of these things. If he goes back to the Packers, I'm going to be so pissed because what a waste of our time this is.
I will have been proven right.
Just stop making it about you. This is about how I feel. This is about how mad I'm going to be. All right, this is how mad we're all going to be. I'm telling you, everybody's going to be so mad about that. Oh, I wasn't ready to go just yet. No. I would want sanctions on Aaron Rodgers if this has sanctions. I want reparations, right? What Kramer want? Reparations. I want sanctions on Aaron Rodgers talk, limited to on-the-field stuff only. No personal life, no passion in it. We treat Aaron Rodgers like he's Albert Pujols, which means we only talk about him when he does something really good on the field or if he does something bad. No personal life, no this, no always Jeopardy. No. If you're going to waste our time and not go to a new team and not get a trade, no, then I want sanctions on Aaron Rodgers talk. Limits on it. I want to limit it and make sure it's enforced. And there's going to be somebody that's going to do this all across on radio and on TV. Make sure all TV shows go, listen, you got into the personal aspect of Aaron Rodgers. Listen, we don't do that right now because remember he wasted all our time with all this before he decided not to go. Okay, yeah, that's your first warning. Second one's going to be a big fine and a suspension. All of that I want, Mike. I want that for TV. I want that for radio if he wastes our time and does this.
If it happens, I'll tell you what. I've already started looking into the pricing of what a nice, authentic Ric Flair robe costs. I will don one of those, and I will be strutting and styling and profiling. Stan, I told y'all.
Yeah, but how happy will you be, really? Because in the end, he's still going to be in your division. He's not going
to
be gone.
I won't get to champagne.
Hey, he stayed. Yeah, he's still in your division.
Oh, that's fine, but I'm a broadcast professor. Yeah, yeah. And being right in my broadcast world weighs more.
That was a stretch.
I mean, it just weighs
right
so
there.
Much more.
Yeah, that was a big stretch you had right there. That was a huge
stretch.
I mean, I want some kind of rules about Aaron Rodgers talk if that happens. Rules
by the way,
about
I,
not
I mean,
talking
I have QB1, buddy. What am I worried about?
Whoever QB1 is going to wind up being for you. Yeah, I got it, man. I got QB1. No, I'm telling you, buddy. I'd be really, really mad. I won't be the only one. I will not be the only one. I promise you. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, the NFL story that has just blown up over the course of the last 24 hours. We got it next for you right here. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo.
It is all Utah with a 90-71 lead over the Clippers right now. 5.5 to go in the third quarter. 28 for Donovan Mitchell, who is hitting shots from half court. now with regularity for the Jazz in this one. We'll have more on this game coming up in a few minutes. But you know, look, the big football story that's taken over the past couple of days has been Cole Beasley, who has become the face of athletes who don't want to get vaccinated for the upcoming season, right? He put out a lot of things on missives on Twitter the past couple of days about how he doesn't want to get vaccinated, doesn't think that the league is looking out for players who don't want to get vaccinated. He said, you're telling me 98% if I get the vaccine, it can gives me a 98% chance of beating COVID, but there were odds lower than that when I made the NFL, which really doesn't make any sense at all. He talked about how I'm not going to take medication for a leg that isn't broken. That's not how vaccines work. I have very limited time for somebody who wants to make a point without using logic, and that's kind of what Cole Beasley's done over the course of the past couple of days. Because look, you know, look, we've talked about this. Look, I think everybody should get vaccinated. I'm a big pro-vaccine person for COVID, but I understand that if you don't want that, I understand that's your choice. I would actually just like, honestly, I respect that. I'd like better arguments than nonsensical things like Cole Beasley saying, I want to live life like I want. No one's stopping you from living life like you want to. You can't use the sauna, right, if you don't get vaccinated. There's certain things that you can't do because you work for a business that's telling you you need to do these things if you're going to play. And no one's telling me can't play. It's just these are the qualifications and these are some of the rules we have in a COVID world because we're trying to get rid of it. No one's telling you you can't play football. No, they're saying certain things you need to do if you don't want to be vaccinated. So from Beasley, I'd like a better reasoning of this is why I don't believe in vaccines because of X, Y, and Z. And all these, there's many different that are legitimate reasons that I've heard people say, listen, I don't want the vaccine for this because I have this in my family, all these different things. But when I see Cole Beasley talk about it and say that, oh, I'm not going to take meds for a leg that isn't broken, I just got to roll it up and walk away and go, okay, he's just going to be out here and saying nonsensical things. And oh, by the way, don't sit here and play that you're a victim. You wanted this. You wanted this fight. You picked this fight on social media. You went on unprompted talking about how, oh, I can't believe the league isn't doing this for us. You could have made a phone call to your team rep. You could have talked to the league and said, hey, listen, but you went on social media and you fully wanted this fight. So now you have it. So don't play the victim and say, oh, why is everybody bad? Yeah, people are going to say things to you on social media if they disagree with what you say. It's what social media is. So just kind of, you know, own it that this is your take and give me something good. Give me something other than, well, I want to live life how I want to live it. Yeah, we're all living life how we want to live it. But sometimes if you have to wear a mask to go into a business, that's kind of the way it is right now. But it's not stopping you from going into a business. It's not stopping you from being able to patronize that business. It's just certain things right now that companies are making the laws for and making the rules for, which they have right to be, because as you said last night, hey, don't forget, the NFL is a company and they can make these rules. This is what they want to do.
Bottom line, private businesses, 32 different all under the NFL umbrella. In this case, it's something that's negotiated between the Players Association and the league. And as Jason Cole talked about when he joined us earlier, you could argue some of it in terms of how they have to, where they're at in hotels. Are they separate? In travel parties? Because they still have to get in the huddle together. Still have to practice together. Like, there's still some things that maybe could have been explained better as opposed to just here's the chart of what you can and can't do. I can understand where maybe there's a little bit of a frustration there of, hey, let's parse this out a little more and let's talk this out, because maybe you aren't getting full information from your player rep. That would not be the first time we've heard that about the NFLPA, shocker, as it currently is situated. And Cole Beasley becomes the face and the spokesperson for the number of players, and evidently they've really had an issue in Buffalo, of players that don't want to get vaccinated. A couple of weeks ago, it was about the older coaches that just said, I'm not doing that. So it's, all right, you're going to have to, you can't be on the sideline, and a bunch of other rules for them. You play by the rules. Right. If you don't, it's the privilege to play. Right. Businesses, even though now you've loosened restrictions here in California, I went to a mall to return some pants. Some places are like, if you're vaccinated, come on, you don't have to wear a mask. Some are like, no, we still want everybody to wear a mask.
I think you just lied to everybody. You said you were returning pants. You don't own pants. You don't wear pants.
They weren't mine.
Story up.
No, they were mine. They were pants I bought from my daughter.
You, I think you just made that up on the spot. You don't wear
100%. I'll show you the pants.
I don't want to see the pants.